I think we have got it wrong. Whenever people try to talk about narcissistic abuse, they talk about the narcissist in singularity, when in reality, narcissistic abuse as a phenomenon is a team sport. What do I mean by that? Well, the narcissist comes into your life, his or her cronies, flying monkeys, minions, and enablers. And unfortunately, you always, almost always, get abused by this collective dysfunctional unit or mini cult of the narcissist. This is what we are going to talk about in today's episode. Hi, I am Danish, a narcissistic abuse recovery professional. Today we are going to talk about narcissistic abuse as a team sport. If that sounds interesting and you are eager to learn more with me, please make sure to subscribe before we begin, because as I always say and request, your subscription to the channel helps spread awareness about narcissistic abuse. I'll divide this episode in three parts. In the first part, we will explore the dysfunctional unit, the mini cult of the narcissist. How does it look like? In the second part, we'll talk about the hierarchy of their cronies, who comes first, what does the second layer look like, and who are at the lowest level of their hierarchy. And then in the third part, we'll talk about how all of this impacts you collectively and what you could do about it. I always say chaos cannot exist in isolation. It has to have a source. And the narcissistic chaos has a source as well. Family, which created it. Parents, siblings, and all those people who maintained, sustained, and reinforced the narcissism, passed it down through the generation. This source of chaos as a collective force can be seen as a mini cult, because each member is a reflection of the other, and these people, these members of the mini cult, do not have individual personalities or preferences. They just are like parrots who mimic each other in choices, likes, desires, perceptions, and their overall belief system of the world, themselves, and you. Which is why when a narcissist targets you, the family slowly also starts showing up. Maybe the narcissist, if he was a man, introduced you to his mother, and you felt something was not wrong because she was extremely judgmental or arrogant and grandiose or very vulnerable, covert, or you felt something was going on with his sister. If the narcissist who hurt you was a female, you felt the dysfunctional relationship between her and her father or her sisters, or the friction between her and her mother. You always have a sense of intuition when you initially encounter this mini cult, but because you are being love-bombed and you are being heavily manipulated, you naturally and unconsciously suppress your intuition. The moment you get into a relationship with a narcissist, collective abuse starts. Primarily, it is the family that is involved in the situation. Your mother-in-law, your father-in-law, sister-in-law, all these people, if they are not in touch or in contact with their family, they have other sorts of minions and cronies, such as their friends or their co-workers. Basically, anybody who is an enabler and idealizes the narcissist. These people are used for triangulation, to make it seem like you are thinking things that are not real, for gaslighting, to make you question your own reality and think you are going crazy, and the narcissist's version of the reality is the correct one, and you slowly give up on yours, believe in theirs, until this mini cult convinces you are truly insane. They start tossing you around like a ball. They start kicking you around, and you do not know who to go to help, because each person is in one way or the other manipulating you. And because it's always possible for different forms of narcissism to coexist in such a family, you get confused, because one sibling may be a covert, nice type of a narcissist, and they may pretend to listen and agree with you and may pretend to offer you support because they're getting supply from you, they're getting your attention, but behind your back, being a hypocrite, they still support the abuser and think you're going crazy and make it seem like you're coming up with stuff that's not real and make fun of your pain. This is one of the reasons why the impact of experiencing narcissistic abuse is devastating, because it's not only one person who abuses you, it is the entire mini cult, the entire hive of these bees that attack you. And imagine being attacked by so many people, directly, indirectly, being triangulated, being tossed around, being thrown around like you don't matter, being used like a piece of furniture. How would that not impact you? This is why you're struggling this much. Unfortunately, this kind of collective narcissistic abuse is more common in Asian cultures, where once the daughter gets married, she's expected to live with her in-laws, because all these people collectively abuse her and there is no one to rescue, to save her, to support her. The narcissistic husband is the same creature, and everybody else basically takes his side. She suffers alone, struggles alone, gives birth to children, tries to save them, but unfortunately they also get impacted, and sometimes they also become narcissistic. Now, let's talk about the hierarchy. The topmost level is of the family members narcissist keeps around. Family members who blindly accept the narcissist, gives them all the fuel and supply they require to sustain and maintain their delusional perception of the world and their psychotic inner workings. And these family members are the ones who would go to any extent when enabling the narcissist and rescuing them from other people. These are the ones who see the narcissist as the biggest victim in every situation where the narcissist has victimized other people. In a male narcissist case, it is almost always the matriarch, the mother, who's also narcissistic, and the narcissistic man is totally enmeshed with her. She does not and will not ever see any flaw in her son, because he is perfect. He can do nothing wrong. Even if evidence shows us the contrary, even if he is battering you physically, even if he is abusing you very openly and it can't be denied, she'll still find a justification for it, and she will still find a reason to blame you for it. She may say things like, well, had you behaved nicely, he would have never lost control over his behavior and action. It doesn't make any sense. In case of a narcissistic woman, her relationship may be dysfunctional but enmeshed with her father or mother as well. I have seen those cases where the mother is not enabling the son but her daughter, and crazily so. Now, there is this sub-level in the first level, and that is of the siblings. If it is a narcissistic man, you may have noticed he may be enmeshed or enabled by his elder sister or a younger sister, maybe a sister of his age, but there is going to be that sister who will crazily attack you on his behalf, indirectly abuse you, and make it seem like you are driving her brother crazy. She will never believe you, no matter what you tell her and show her. She'll always take her brother's side because he is the apple of her eyes. The truth is, she is a similar creature. She doesn't think there is anything wrong in how he is treating you, so why would she try to hold him accountable or responsible for his actions? The worst case scenario, she may pretend to reprimand him, to scold him. You will feel the inauthenticity in her actions, but it will be a facade to make it seem like, oh yeah, see, I'm doing the job that you wanted me to do. She'll give you a candy to hold on to as if you are a child, you don't understand things. And then later, behind your back, they'll be all together enmeshed, laughing at you and thinking you're such a fool for believing in them. Basically, you will have to put up with a crazy family that will try to collectively abuse you. Now comes the second layer of cronies, narcissistic enablers. And guess who are they? The narcissist's friends. Narcissist friends are not actually their friends. Some narcissists don't have friends at all, others do. But only those people remain friends with them who or narcissists themselves. Inauthenticity can only flourish in presence of inauthenticity. You cannot stay connected with no self unless you also don't have any self, which is not to say you did not have any self when you were in the narcissistic relationship. Your case was different. You saw the dysfunction in the narcissist's behavior, yet you did not know how to cope with it, deal with it, or what to do with it. These friends are replicas of the narcissist. These are flying monkeys who do the narcissist's job, whose function is only to enable the narcissist, put him or her on pedestal, feed their ego, and gossip. Just do things that are fake, slander. Make it known to the entire world that their relationship is nothing but fakery, based on no values, no true connection, but the supply they give each other. Maybe it is the approval of the narcissist that matters more than anything to these friends. That's why they are so destructive and abusive. Maybe they are getting some secondary gain, sex, money, anything from the narcissist, recognition by staying in their company, or feeling powerful and in control. Their connection is just based on that. Nothing else. Now, when a narcissist loses control over you or they want to abuse you further, they send these friends around. These friends are the ones who will do anything to hide truth from you. You may catch the narcissist cheating on you and you may reach out to one of the friends expecting some kind of support, and what you will get back will shock you to your core, because this friend will somehow try to hide their friend's real nature. They will try to justify it or somehow blame it on you. Say, you made them do this. You deprived them of affection, which is why they had to go somewhere else looking for it. Quite hypocritically, some of them might pretend to support you, but behind your back will support the narcissist and say, just calm down a little bit. Let me bring him or her back into your, under your control, and then see how things change. These are the real enemies that you should never ever trust. The third layer of this hierarchy, which is the lowest one, compromises of all the acquaintances, basically distant friends, colleagues, co-workers, roommates, flatmates, and all those people who do not know the narcissist very well but still choose to support them or believe them. These are the ones the narcissist goes to when running massive smear campaigns against you, because they know these people are likely to believe in them. And that is why they stop talking to you. And that's why they said a narcissist smear campaign is a filtration process. It removes these toxic, disloyal, and dangerous people from your life. These are the people from general population who do not know a lot about you and what actually happened, but still choose to believe in the narcissist, primarily because they are themselves like that, and they also have a preconceived notion of who you are, what you stand for, and what you could have done to the narcissistic person in question. All of which brings us to the third part of this episode. What should you do with these people? The family of the narcissist, the friends, and these acquaintances, flying monkeys in general. Well, the first and the foremost thing you should never do is never go to these people for support. I have seen many people, many survivors of narcissistic abuse, going to these people for support, trying to get some insight into the narcissist's real nature, trying to make the narcissist understand through their help. However, they only get abused because, as I said in the earlier part of this episode, these people do not think differently than the narcissist. They will always support them no matter how they pretend to be. Many survivors tell me, oh, I had a good relationship with his or her mother, but she still chose to support him. I went to her and she counter-abused me and made it my fault. I was double betrayed. Well, you were, because she, the mother-in-law or the father-in-law, knows how to pretend to be nice to you, but in reality is a scammer, a fraudster, a trickster, a foolster, like the narcissist. I have also seen some survivors of narcissistic abuse maintaining a good relationship with the parents or siblings of the narcissist, even after leaving the narcissist. Don't do that. Don't do that. It's a very rare occurrence for a parent of a narcissist or a sibling of the narcissist not to be a narcissist. In 99% of the cases, they are going to be the same creature. So always check what you are signing up for and why you are staying in the relationship. What's going on within you? Don't go there. They'll always try to hurt you in one or the other way. And even if they don't, the narcissist will try to punish you, abuse you via proxy. And they will let it happen even when they know they shouldn't, because they have a good relationship with you, or that is what you think you have with them. In conclusion, we can say narcissistic abuse is always a team sport. It's not only one individual who abuses you. You get abused collectively, be it through the system or through this narcissistic mini cult, which comprises of all the enablers and flying monkeys who idealize the narcissist and always think he or she is the right person and will remain so until the very end. There is a hierarchy to these people. On top are the family members, and then the friends, and then on the lowest level are the acquaintances and people who support narcissists in general. What should you do with these people? Cut them off. They are proxies via which the narcissist can further abuse you, whether you like to believe it or not about them. That was it for today's episode. I hope you found it insightful. If you did, let me know in the comments. I'll talk with you in the next one. And until then, as always, let the healing begin and continue.